Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. So glad that you joined us for the broadcast today. This is our Worldview Wednesday edition of the program, and we've got two guests lined up for you today on two different subjects that we're going to be talking about, but both of them related to a Christian worldview. That's where we're going in the broadcast today. First up, we're going to be speaking with Sophia Lee from World Magazine. She writes out there in Southern California for World Magazine. And we're going to be talking with her about the idea of food. Of course, we're looking at Thanksgiving is next week, and a lot of folks are already starting to prepare their Thanksgiving meal and so forth, you know, all of the trimmings that go along with it. But in California, specifically, but not exclusively, you find a lot of folks that have been talking about food year-round. There's a lot of interest in what is being eaten and about health food fads and so forth. In fact, there's quite a big one that is being a health food fad that is being put out by Rick Warren's church. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. Is there a there, of course, are dangers associated with eating just any food, you know, and all of the health risks from just eating incorrectly or eating just whatever you want to eat, that type of thing. But are there also risks associated with some of these new trends about healthy eating? Risk like this, can it become a bit of an idol in some people's lives? That's what we're going to look at when we talk about that subject today. On the second half of the program, we'll be joined by John West, and John is with the Discovery Institute, and he is part of a new documentary that's been produced by the Discovery Institute that deals with C.S. Lewis. Now, a lot of people know that on Friday of this week, it is the day that commemorates the assassination of John F. Kennedy. And, of course, that's been etched forever into the minds of the American people about what took place that day in Dallas. But a lot of people don't know that that is also the same day that commemorates the death of C.S. Lewis. And so, obviously, because it was overshadowed by the death of the American president, a lot of people, I don't think, are very familiar with that fact. And so we wanted to visit the idea of C.S. Lewis again. There's a brand new documentary that has just been released just yesterday on YouTube by the Discovery Institute. We're going to talk with John West about that documentary and about C.S. Lewis and his view of intelligent design. That's what we're talking about on the second half of the program today. So first up, let's go to the phone lines and welcome in Sophia Lee. Sophia, welcome to the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you. Sophia, tell us a little bit about your article that you wrote that's entitled, for our listeners' sake, What Goes Into the Mouth, and it's listed out there. I think it might even be the cover story of the most recent issue of World Magazine. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Excellent. Tell us a little bit about that article.
Well, this article is really about it's highlighting the point that a lot of people, we all have to eat. Mm-hmm. We all eat three times a day, maybe more, maybe less. Mm-hmm. And eating food is something that God has blessed us with. And health is a blessing too, but when is it too much? When is it too far that we take? What kind of road does food play in our life?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a question that we should all ask. because food is a very important part of our life.
Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of people don't give what they eat very much consideration at all. And I think in the Christian realm that very often people feel that we just have liberty to eat whatever we want to eat. We're not under the ceremonial or civil laws of the Old Testament, and therefore, you know, we're wide open now and complete liberty to just eat any way we want and with complete impunity on that subject. But I'm not so sure that that's actually the case. But you make the case here in your article that Rick Warren's church in California has launched into quite a program about eating. Tell us a little bit about that.
So this program is called the Daniel Plan. Mm-hmm. Daniel, as in the Bible, is Daniel. And the idea behind the program is that we should all practice physical stewardship, just like Daniel did. And as we all know that Daniel famously rejected all kinds of meat and rich foods, mm-hmm. and he stayed with lean vegetables. So maybe the idea is that, oh, we should eat like that too. And Daniel was able to really glorify God by showing how healthy he was, even with that kind of non-rich foods and meatless diet. And Pastor Rick Warren, he got the idea while he was baptizing 858 people one day.
858. So, wow.
Yes, and in Saddleback, you actually dip the person into the water physically.
Yeah.
So after 858 people, I'm sure his arms were killing him.
Yeah.
And that's when he realized we're all fat.
Yeah.
And then he looked at himself and he said, I'm fat too.
Yeah.
And I'm setting a bad example for people. And what kind of Christian are we to waddle around and, I mean, how do we evangelize when we can't even take care of ourselves? So it's that kind of idea. And then it was after 3 months, then he talked to some three top, quote-unquote, top experts.
Mm.
He consulted them for the Daniel Plan. And it was really fast he just developed this plan really fast. And his idea is that, well, we already have small groups in most churches.
Mm.
And, you know, Weight Watchers is famous for the small group kind of community group-oriented diet.
Right.
And so why don't we just implement that within churches, because we already have small groups in place.
Mm. Yeah, that's interesting. I myself am on a special food diet. I'm on a light diet. As soon as there's light, I start eating. And so, because I don't like to eat in the dark, and so I've just been on this. I'm just kidding.
I was just about. Okay, I was going to get alarmed.
I had you for a second. But this plan, so here's Rick Warren from Saddleback Church dipping 858 people into the water. On the 500th person that he dips into the water, his arms are aching. He comes to the conclusion that we are all fat, and not only does he include himself in that, you know, that he's fat, he's feeling himself winded from doing this, although I think a fit person would have been winded from dipping 858 people in the water. But he also recognized that most of the people that were coming to be baptized were all had weight issues, let's put it that way. And therefore, he comes to this conclusion, you know, why is everybody so out of shape here at Saddleback? And so he launches this program. One of the controversial things of this program, as you mentioned, is he goes out then and gets a group of experts in order to design the program. And the experts that he gets, though, one is Dr. Oz, you know, the Dr. Oz fame. I think it's Oz or Mehmet Oz, I think is his name. He's a heart surgeon. And then another fellow, Mark Hyman, and then Daniel Amen, believe it or not, that's his last name. But and he's a two of those. One's a physician, another one's a psychiatrist, and then a heart surgeon. Here's the issue: all of them, none of them profess Christian beliefs. In fact, Dr. Oz actually believes in a kind of a jumble Muslim belief. The other one is, you know, part of New Age ideology and so forth. One of them, his wife is a Japanese, believes in Japanese life force, mojo type belief. So he brings these types of individuals in. I don't know why he's got to go and get those types rather than, you know, to look more at the scriptures since we were supposed to be talking about Daniel. But anyways, he brings them in and starts implementing this program there at Saddleback. So how is that program going? How is it being received? And are people actually feeling better about their health? What's the current diagnosis of the plan?
Rick Warren implemented the plan a while ago, but other churches have adopted the plan as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a huge plan, and there's books and DVDs, and there's a website. And I think there have been cases of people having great success.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a woman who I think she said that she lost more than 100 pounds. And, you know, it works. I mean, diet works, like cutting down what you eat and exercising and talking about it and supporting each other. It all works.
Mm-hmm.
But the question here isn't about that. The question here first is that, I mean, it kind of distorts the story of Daniel in the first thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because Daniel was never about the story of Daniel rejecting rich foods. It was never about the food. It was about him standing against the world's cultures,
mm-hmm,
and the idolatry that goes behind those meats.
Mm.
And also, I'm a young woman with a lot of secular friends,
mm-hmm,
and I come from a culture where we talk about food too much.
Uh-huh.
We don't even need smugglers because we're already talking about how many calories this is and what I can eat, what I can't eat. So knowing that and knowing that kind of food-obsessed culture, health-obsessed culture, we just kind of have to question the other unintended effects of this kind of program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's good to, question it like you're doing. You know that everything should be brought back to the testimony of Scripture. You know, compared with the Word of God and thought about. We're on the other side of the country over here, of course, and on the East Coast. You're on the West Coast. While that may be something that is extremely popular out there, and maybe has gone to a level that's wrong in and of itself now. On the East Coast and in the South here specifically, I'll say it, but you just send Gary Miller your emails here at the station. It's almost proverbial, the overweight, or if I could say fat, Baptist pastor in the South is almost proverbial. I mean, it's it's joked
and
about.
I think it's two extremes.
Yes.
And they're both wrong. They both don't use food the way God gave us. So one extreme is making our body an idol. The other is also making the body an idol by abusing it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just two extremes of the same threat.
Yes. Yeah, I think so. I think that one group is saying, hey, take your hands off my Twinkie. You know, you don't have anything. The Bible has nothing to say about what I eat. And the other group is looking and saying, you know, hyper-scrutinizing everything. And I don't even mind if they hyper-scrutinize it. I guess the question is when you start imposing that upon other people, you know, are other people sinning because they're eating a Krispy Kreme donut? or, you know, there's where we have to be careful. If you determine that eating right is should be a certain way, and that's fine if that's what you want to do for yourself. I do it personally. I don't eat any now. I don't eat any processed foods at all. And one of the reasons for me was for health reasons that I had high blood pressure and my triglycerides were, off the chart. And so I had to do something pretty radical in what I was eating. And so I just stopped. I got rid of all processed foods and, don't eat any of that at all. But I don't try to impose it upon anybody else. I don't, look down on people that eat differently or anything like that. I think I can make a case that you could feel better and you'll have more energy and you may not spend as much time in the hospital and sick and these types of things. I think I can make that case, but I don't take it all the way to the point of that I look at people differently because of what they eat. I think that once we get to that point, I think we really need to be careful. Would you agree?
Yes, I agree. And I would add that as Christians, I think on an individual level too, we all need to be intelligent. We shouldn't be foolish.
Yes.
So we should do a prime view. I mean, we should have the responsibility of knowing what's healthy and what's unhealthy for us.
Mm-hmm.
And acting against it. But then also we as Christians, we also need to be happy. We have to be happy in the Lord and not in what we eat or how we move. But so it's a balance of things.
Mm-hmm. There's a couple of scripture verses that come to mind when we think about this topic. Isaiah 55 says, "Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and you labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." Now, the teaching there is obviously not specifically related to food. He is not saying, the point is not, hey, start eating more healthy. There's a spiritual lesson that is there about, eating good spiritual food, food that is teaching that has been come from God and not from the false prophets. That's true. But nevertheless, the analogy that he's using there is an analogy about food. And secondly, in the New Testament scripture then, we talk about that the chief end of man is to glorify God. Well, the very verse that we use to talk about that issue says that in therefore, whatever we do, whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. So again, the point there is about glorifying God. I get that. But I don't think we could just so easily dismiss that in making that point, he actually refers to eating and drinking, something that we do on a regular basis. Seems so mundane, but even in that activity, we should seek to be glorifying God in the way that we do those things. So I think we got to strike some sort of a balance here. And, as you were talking about, engage our mind into thinking about, how we are taking care of our body, but not do that in such a fanatical way that we lose sight of the bigger picture that the spiritual, the soul, is of much greater importance than the body. Do you think that's a fair way to state it?
Yes, that's exactly it. Know God's heart behind everything.
Mm-hmm. And you were talking about with the young people that you converse with on a regular basis, and some of them are secular and don't really look at it this way. What happens then when they think about food this way and nutrition this way? Does it all becomes about living as healthy as possible, and that becomes their entire life in and of itself?
Because my history is that I had an eating disorder, and I wrote extensively about it on my blog. So I get a lot of emails from girls, fellow girls who go through disordered eating. And actually, I think on the website, there's going to be another post about a girl who is a healthy living blogger. She actually blogs about healthy living.
Mm.
And she told me about how obsessed she got to the point that she just couldn't function normally, socially, or and she was just not happy because at some point her passion for health became an obsession.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just not even, she was not even able to control what she's thinking
yeah.
or eating or doing because those things were already controlling her.
Yeah.
So I think there's always that fine line. I mean, we human beings are so frail and weak. We really cannot, I mean, make our own bodies.
Yeah.
Or even control our own minds. Because the moment we lose sight of Christ, the moment we lose sight of the bigger picture, we really fall out of the path.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so true. And, hey, no matter what we do or what we eat, you know, the scripture speaks about bodily exercise profiteth little. There is some good results there, some little results, as it puts it. But we've got to concentrate primarily upon the soul and really cultivate our soul to love God and love others. That's our primary mission. And like you said, we can't lose sight of the fact that this is our temporary home, and this body is just our tent here while we're upon the face of the earth, and we shouldn't throw all of our attention into it like we're going to be living here forever. I mentioned to the folks in the church that I pastor that we shouldn't drive our tent pegs in too deeply. You know, we're only here for a few moments of time compared to eternity. And then we're going to where we'll live for the rest of eternity in glory, and there we'll have glorified bodies. And so don't lose sight of that balancing perspective when we think about these things. So I think that that's very helpful. I've been very impressed with your, Sophia, with your other articles that you've written out there on World.
Thank you.
Yeah, we think that, you know, some of the things were very good. We had a hard time actually selecting then which one we wanted to talk about today. But I actually noticed that you had another article we're hoping to visit at another time. But that one was dealing with the idea of street preaching and whether.
Oh. Not,
yeah, that was an excellent article. I think you're doing a great job there.
Thank you.
Sophia, thank you so much for talking about this issue today. We really appreciate it, and we appreciate the writing that you do. I'm going to give folks the website again where they can go out there in order to read some of your articles. But we really appreciate you being with us today.
Oh, thank you. My pleasure.
Okay. That was Sophia Lee. Sophia is now a featured reporter for World Magazine. She graduated from the University of Southern California with a degree in print journalism and East Asian language and culture. She lives in the Los Angeles area. When I was reading about her bio, living in Los Angeles area, it said she lives in Los Angeles with her cat. And it said that with her cat, Shalom. What a name for the cat. So Peace is the name of the cat. And you can follow Sophia out there on Twitter as well. And so you'll see her Twitter account when you go out to check it out on World Magazine. Her articles can be found out there at www.worldmag.com. That's www.worldmag.com. Just look for Sophia Lee, and you can read the articles that we were talking about. The cover story for the latest issue of World Magazine was the one we were talking about today, What Goes Into the Mouth. And as I mentioned, she has other ones out there as well, like that one entitled Men on the Street. It's an analysis of street preaching and whether or not it is really helping or hurting. It's an interesting article. We're going to visit that at some point. We'll be back in a moment.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.